That is an excerpt from Hay Fever. Another in our series, A Play to Remember, which may also help you to forget the next half hour.
Meanwhile, for those with a strong disposition, here is a sort of radio show which is beyond our ken. Among those taking part are lighthouse keeper Thorkley Winterton, R.A., Marsifalia Whiff, the singing gondoliers from Manchester Ship Canal, Caraway Parsons, Miss Doreen Dictionary.
She'll be all right for a spell.
To continue, auctioneer Graham Stalybras, Baroness Pudding, and, of course, Mr. Kenneth Horne, who prefers to remain anonymous. Ladies and gentlemen, Kenneth Horne.
Hello, welcome to Beyond Our Ken, the show that has certainly put radio back 20 years. Well, now let me, as usual, tell you some of the things that have happened to me since we last met. On Monday, a chap stopped me for a lift in Kensington, and I brought him all the way into town, which I thought was particularly kind of me because I didn't have a car. On Wednesday, I had my customary game of squash on the Piccadilly line. Friday. Now, well, on Friday, I decided it was time I had a new suit. So I went along to those refined gentlemen's tailors, Arthur Figley and Son of Savile Row.
Oh, good morning, Mr. Old.
Good morning, Figley. I'd like to look at some new material.
Yes, I've been listening to that show of yours, too.
No, Figley. Figley, I want a new suit.
Well, I must say it's high time. You haven't been in here for years. Been going elsewhere, no doubt. Yes, I thought as much. Look at that suit you're wearing. Why, anyone can tell at a glance. Inferior quality, shoddy workmanship, appalling cut.
This is one of your suits, Figley.
My word, it has lasted, don't it? Of course, I can see the moths have been at it here and there.
Yes. I don't mind here so much, but there's a bit drafty. Well, can I see some material, please?
Certainly. Norman, go and get the patterns. Norman, don't just stand there like a dummy. No. Oh, sorry, it is a dummy. Where's Norman got to? Norman!
Oh, just come in. Here I am, Mr. Figley.
Oh, just look at you. You've done it again, haven't you?
Oh, I couldn't help it. Mm. I just couldn't resist putting on Major Willoughby's riding gear.
Norman, I've told you before, once is all right, twice is all right, but you mustn't get into the habit. Now then, look at that pattern book. Oh, here we are, Mr. Orr.
Oh, good. Now let's see. Now, what about this one?
No, I wouldn't recommend the Paul Fenelay serge.
No?
No. Rather inclined to pick up bits of fluff. Half a mo.
If I might be permitted to suggest...
Oh. Norman, your trousers are baggy, aren't they?
Yes, they are, Mr. Figley.
Then belt up, there's a good lad.
Look, Figley... Figley, all I want is a plain, simple suit.
Norman, get that roll of cloth down there, off the shelf.
Oh, yes. Lummy, it's heavy.
Yeah, careful, lad, look out.
Oh, me head.
Honestly, you clumsy, stupid, blithering...
Please, Mr. Owen, mustn't say things like that in front of this material. It's clerical grade.
Well, I'm sorry. Now, look, Figley, I've been thinking. It'll make it all so much easier if I just have an off-the-peg suit.
Did you say off the peg?
Yes, that's right.
Norman, show him the rubbish.
Here we are, sir. All your size, 25 guineas, or there's this one, special at 30 guineas.
What's the difference?
It has the carnation in it already.
Oh, yes, I'll slip that one on.
You made a wise choice, Mr. Orne. A lovely bit of mohair sackcloth, that.
Yes. Well, it fits quite comfortably.
Looks a treat on you. A nice conservative cut.
Yes, but a bit liberal around the back bench, I think. Still, I'll take it. You can send my old one back sometime. All right? Goodbye, Figley.
Good luck to you, sir.
I feel a bit conspicuous in my new suit. I do hope nobody notices it.
Hello, Ken. What a nice new suit.
Good heavens, it's Pat Lancaster. Pat, Pat, what on earth are you doing coming out of the police station?
Oh, just fixing up a police concert.
Oh, I see. Look who's behind you, the Variety Orchestra. What's up, Paul?
Oh, we've just come to claim our instruments. They were towed away last night.
Honestly, the excuses get more incredible every week. Still, now you're all here, sing, Pat.
Moment to go try your luck and do the things you've always wished you'd done. This is the moment to go have fun. This is the moment to live. This is the moment you dare not delay. To wait another day may take too long. This is the moment, don't hesitate. The world is a great thing. We're part of that miracle on earth. And I cannot help but be lyrical. I have just found out there can be no doubt. This is the moment to sing. I'm gonna catch the gloom unawares. Gonna banish all my cares somehow. This is the moment. The moment to live.
Ken, by the way, where are you off to all spruced up?
Well, as a matter of fact, I'm on my way to the BBC to compare a theatre magazine program.
What's that, Ken?
Oh, you must listen. It's one of those typical show business epics the BBC always does so well. You know the sort of thing.
Curtain up and on stage, please. Calling London across the footlights. Showtime. All the world's a stage, and from the world of the stage we bring a myriad of twinkling stars. Stars that shine brightly in the theatrical firmament. Yes, from the glossy, magical world that is show business comes a galaxy of...
Now get on with it!
Stars and more stars in a cavalcade of memories joined together now in this veritable kaleidoscope of sound and music, especially for you! And now. Now, ladies and gentlemen, here is your compound. Sit back and relax as he takes you by the hand and leads you into a glittering wonderland.
All right, that's enough. Thank you very much. How do you do, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to the show. Well, first of all, we're delighted to welcome a delightful personality who has been delighting audiences with her delightful personality for many years. It's a pleasure and privilege and a great delight to introduce Miss Evelyn Miles.
Thank you. I'm delighted to be here.
We're delighted to have you. Well, I must say you're looking as delightful as ever, and what an enchanting gown.
Thank you.
It's a thrill for me to look back on the big career that's behind you.
I beg your pardon.
Well, what I mean is, you've had a long and successful career in the theatre. How is it you managed to be so young and vivacious?
Well, for one thing, I've always lied about my age. But you know, Kenneth, the theatre has always been very kind to me, which is very gratifying, especially when you consider what I have done to the theatre.
Yes. Well, now, of all the wonderful shows you've done, I think perhaps the one that stands out in our minds was your unforgettable performance in
Roman Honeymoon.
Roman Honeymoon, yes. What a lovely show that was. Of course, that was some time ago. And unfortunately, we haven't heard your voice in the theatre for many years now.
Well, it was never very strong.
No. I meant, when are we going to see and hear you on the London stage again?
Oh, I see. Oh, well, very soon. Towards the end of this year, I have been offered a very exciting and challenging part.
What's that?
Peter Pan.
Well, well, thank you for coming along, Evelyn Miles. It was delightful.
Thank you, Ken.
Not at all. Now we have a great treat in store for you as we welcome the stars and the author of the new musical, Follow That Salad. Here is Julian Wilson.
Hello, Kenneth. Delighted to be here.
Yes, delighted to have you. Now, can you tell us something about your new musical?
Well, I'll try. It's all rather confusing, really. It's about a tram driver who collects butterflies and who lives with his uncle, a piano tuner, and his aunt who runs a school that specializes in cake decoration. There's all sorts of adventures in the school, including a magic cake which turns into a piano. And, of course, the tram driver falls in love with a pretty little fisher girl.
Yes. Yes, well don't go on, Julian. Don't go on, you spoil it. Anyway, we're going to meet the two young stars of the show now, little Sally Hoskins and lovely Leslie Gilcroft. I meant lovely Sally Hoskins and, I don't know, though. Hello, you two.
Hello.
Hello.
Now, Sally, this is your very first lead in the musical, isn't it? How did you get the part?
Oh, well, I won it in a raffle.
And how about you, Leslie? It's your first musical too, isn't it?
Yes, I'm a straight actor, really. I've been knocking about in rep for years. And then Julian spotted me playing Quasimodo in The Hunchback of Notre Dame.
Yes, that's right, and I knew right away he'd be perfect for the singing tram driver.
Well, I believe we're going to hear the duet from the show now, sung by Sally Hoskins and Leslie Gilcroft.
You are the ripples in a stream.
You are a tin of clotted cream.
You are the tea bag in a pot of tea.
You're a piano played by Russ. You're a number 13 bus.
Yes, that's what you are to me. You're a headline in the news.
You're a Caribbean crew.
You're a planner at the BBC. You're a Harold Pinter play.
You're the M1 motorway.
Yes, that's what you are to me. You're a breath of spring, a ming, a thing to cherish every day.
You're a lucky charm, a chicken farm. You're a load of pneumonia.
You're the winner of the fight. You're the stuff that washes wank.
You're a frogman underneath the sea.
You're a pint of old and mild.
You're both films on Oscar Wilde.
Yes,
that's what you are to me, my darling. That's what you are to me.
Thank you, Sally Hoskins and Leslie Gilcroft, and, of course, Julian Wilson. Now for our next guest from the world of the theatre, we're privileged to have with us one of our contemporary and most distinguished Irish playwrights. I think it's right to say that the brilliant depth shown...
For heaven's sake, man, stop your blethering. Get on with the interview. I haven't got all day to waste.
Well, I'm sorry. I was merely about to praise your current play.
Why? It's a load of old rubbish. It's just that. And anyone who says so will get a punch right off the snout. And that goes for you too, you bald-headed old rebel.
Oh, no, I think that's quite unnecessary.
Oh, shut up!
I must say you're a most unpleasant and aggressive person.
You should see me when I've had a couple of drinks.
Thank you, and good night. Finally, we come to another successful musical of a different kind. The very popular East End musical, Do Me a Favor. And here is the author-composer, number 1876342.
Hello, mate.
You're inside again, then?
Yes, it's only a short stretch this time, though. Still, it's given me a chance to whip off another musical.
And will this one deal with low life?
Of course. Well, I mean, when people go to the theatre these days, they don't want to be entertained. No, they want realism. After all, life's not a chocolate box.
No?
No. It's a dirty great dustbin. I mean, well, you've got to talk to audiences in a language they understand.
So you think musicals have got to be different now to succeed?
You're dead right, mate. But I can express myself better with a song I wrote on the subject, performed by some of the talented cast of our show. Well, now, there's Benny. He's a first-class counterfeiter. And, well, there's Joe and Mush, two of the best safe crackers in the country. And there's Lil. Well, I can't tell you much about Lil. But she'll never be on What's My Line.
All right, then. Right, let's hear the cast now.
You'll soon be rewarded by being really sordid.
Cause musicals ain't what they used to be.
If you're quick, you're cashier with nuts, bolt, razor, slash.
Cause musicals ain't what they used to be.
They used to have charm, singing like birds, everyone looks so grand.
But now there's no arm, shouting out words, people don't understand.
Call us a
hell, we love to wallow in filth, the dirty squalor.
Cause musicals ain't what they used to be.
Six or seven times.
Call
vice and crime are such a wow. My fair lady's at it now.
Musicals ain't what they used to be. No musicals ain't what they used to be.
So much for the cavalcade of show business. But now I really am delighted to introduce once again our really talented vocal and instrumental group, the Fraser Hayes Four.
Jimmy Crack Corn, Jimmy Crack Corn, Jimmy Crack Corn, Jimmy Crack Corn. Jimmy Crack Corn and I don't care. Jimmy Crack Corn and I don't care. Jimmy Crack Corn and I don't care. Master's gone away. When I was young, I used to wait upon my master and give him his plate and pass the bottle when he got dry and rush away the blue-tail fly. Jimmy Crack Corn and I don't care. Jimmy Crack Corn and I don't care. Jimmy Crack Corn and I don't care. Master's gone away.
One day he ride around the farm. The flies so numerous they did swarm. One bit the pony in the thigh.
The devil take that blue-tailed fly.
Jimmy Crack Corn. Jimmy Crack Corn. Jimmy, Jimmy Crack Corn. Jimmy Crack Corn. Master's gone away. The pony he run, he jump, he pitch, he threw my master in the ditch. He died. The jury wondered why. The verdict,
yeah, the blue-tailed fly.
They lay him under a cinnamon tree. His epitaph is there to see. Beneath this stone I'm forced to lie, a victim of the blue-tailed fly. Jimmy Crack Corn.
episode of the Kenneth Horne documentary feature, Hornorama. Yes, once again, Kenneth Horne and his team of investigators bring you a factual report on topics of immediate interest. And this week, we present a close-up on holiday.
Well, first of all, let's see whether people have made their plans already for this summer. What about you, sir? What are your plans?
Well, I shall spend my summer holidays on the Sussex coast. I love to just bask in the sun, spread-eagled on the sand, listening to the waves lapping on the shore, and watching the seagulls sweeping across the sky and over the sea.
Yes. Most refreshing, I'm sure, but how about swimming?
Oh, I never swim in the sea myself.
Well, why is that?
Can't stand water in my mouth.
Well, that's understandable, I suppose. Now, here's a lady. Any holiday plans yet, ma'am?
Oh, yes. Yes, I'm going to Spain. And my girlfriend, Elsie, went there for the first time last year. She had a really wonderful time.
Oh, really? How was that?
Well, someone told her that CC meant no.
It was me, actually. Now let's meet someone who earns his living from the seaside holidaymakers, a remarkable old character. The man who looks after the amusements at the end of the pier. Good evening to you, sir.
Good evening to you, sir. Good evening.
Thank you. Now, would you tell us your age?
No, not at all. I'm 85 years old.
Well, that's remarkable. Yes. How long have you been on the pier?
I've never touched a drop.
No, sir. On the pier.
Oh, yes. 65 years I've been in the amusement arcade. I look after the penny peep shows. You know, what the butler saw, and Naughty Nights in Paris.
Oh, yes. Do you ever watch them yourself?
Yes, I sometimes have a peep, but it brings tears to my eyes. It's all very sad.
Yeah, but I've seen those peep shows often. They're not really sad.
They are when you're 85.
Well, now, holidays. Every year, people live for those precious weeks when it's possible to leave behind the workaday worries and set out on a magical journey to a favorite resort.
Well, Andrews, we're on our way at last.
Yes, we must be halfway to Margateby now. I can hardly wait to get my shoes off and go paddling.
No, yes, that will be like... Oh, my goodness. I've just remembered something awful.
What is it?
I've left the fire on in the lounge. We'll have to go back.
Oh, don't be a silly old faggot.
I'm not.
We can't go back now.
We must. The house might catch fire,
Don't worry, it won't.
Oh, but Ambrose, I tell you...
No,
it
won't. Don't you needn't worry.
Oh, dear Ambrose, how can you be so sure?
Well, I remembered something. I left the bathroom tap running.
Well, naturally, people's holiday tastes vary considerably. Some like to do the obvious, and some prefer to spend this leisure period in more unconventional ways. Take, for instance, those who find health and happiness by living life in the raw at one of Britain's many nudist camps. We sent Cecil Snaith to investigate.
Well, listeners, I'm speaking to you now from the famous health and beauty camp in the picturesque countryside of Beresford in Hertfordshire. This is one of Britain's largest holiday camps for the naturalist, and to gain admittance, I have, of course, had to comply with the regulations by removing all my clothes. I must say the grounds of Beresford Camp are quite beautiful, surrounded naturally by a very high fence, and there's absolutely every facility here. Tennis courts, swimming pool, croquet, putting. I'm actually standing now on one of the magnificently kept lawns, and I'm told there's a most exquisite rose garden. I think it's through this gate here. And this is Cecil Smith from Beresford High Street returning you to the studio.
Well, however the holiday season is spent, one thing is certain about the British character. Every year, a large proportion of Englishmen succumb to their fatal fascination for boats.
Hello, Charles.
Hi there, Rodney. I say, I like your new yachting blazer.
Yes, it is rather doggy, isn't it? But, Rodders, what do you think of the boat?
Oh, my word, you've done wonders with her.
Yes. She's a trim little craft, isn't
she? I hardly recognized her.
Well, I've given her a complete overhaul. Do you like the new paint?
Oh, yes, lime green is the colour this year. You must be very proud of
me. Oh, I am. Terribly proud. I can't wait to get her afloat. It's a gorgeous day, too.
Perfect, and the sea is as calm as a mill pond.
Well, come on, let's go aft. Let's get underway. Any more for the Skylark?
Twice round the bay for 1 and 6.
Back in time for tea.
Lady in front of you.
Well, there you are. There'll be another Horner Armour next week when the subject will be blacksmiths. Are they in a shoddy business? Also in next week's program, there'll be a special commentary from Richard Dimbleby, who will be describing Winfred Vaughan Thomas. There'll be poetry readings given by a young lady of Gloucester. And we'll be going over to the London Zoo to interview the rhinoceros who keeps thinking he's Sir Laurence Olivier. So until next week then, this is Kenneth Horne saying goodbye for now and leaving you with this thought which comes from a listener. If the SS Eastbourne called at Brighton, would it be hove to?
You might have been listening to what I've just missed. Beyond Our Ken, a sort of recorded radio show which gave employment to Kenneth Horne and also to Kenneth Williams, Hugh Paddick, Betty Marsden, Bill Pertwee, Pat Lancaster, the Fraser Hayes Four, and the BBC Variety Orchestra conducted by Paul Fennelly. The script, believe it or not, was written, and letters of complaint should be sent to Eric Merriman. However, the onus must inevitably fall on our producer, Jake Sprague.